appreciate that, Sister Payne. We are blessed to have a lot of you who are visiting with us, and today we hope that you hear the centrality of our message. It's about Jesus, and the reason he is so important is because the Statue of Liberty is in New York's harbor, and she made the comparison to the statue or the liberty we find on the cross of Jesus Christ. In fact, I think I'm going to change just a little bit of what I had planned to do, but if you're visiting with us today, we want you to know we just love the Lord here, and we want to exalt him. It's good to see Sheila Sheffield here and family. I met, saw them a little while ago, and others of you, and haven't mentioned all the different ones, but we're so happy you're visiting with us today. We pray that God just speaks to your heart. We have others who are not with us, who would be if they could. They're coming home from the hospital today. James Tillman, he's coming home this morning. Had total knee replacement Thursday, and spoke with Janice last evening. She said this morning he would be coming home. So remember James and Janice as she tends to him, and others that may have similar circumstances in their life. In the book of Philippians, I know that says Proverbs, keep your finger there. That was our text, but we're going to begin. I think we're going to end a different way just because a little bit about our vets and our liberty, and then this liberty we have in Christ. If you will with me, turn to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. And having found that, if you would stand in honor, this month has been on honor and honor to our Lord. Honor. The message title today is Place of Honor. Place of Honor. Do you know God honored his Son? His Son was obedient to the Father. And it says in Philippians 2:5, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. Philippians 2:5. But let's read just a little further, about four more verses. Speaking of Jesus, it says this, who, being in the form of God, God the Son, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of, catch this, no reputation. And what did he do to prove that? And he took upon him the form of a servant, remember that, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, and listen to this, speaking of Jesus, it says in our Bible, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death. And here you go, even the death of the cross, that Statue of Liberty. And then we read, I'll read one more verse. We could read on and on. Wherefore God hath also highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name. Father, thank you that you did do that for your Son. And Jesus, thank you that you did come for us. We pray that today we might learn what you want us to learn, live as you have us to live, and may we understand these things are for your honor and your glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Now, if you look to Proverbs 18:12, as you saw there a moment ago on the lead slide there, on the PowerPoint slide, that's there for those note takers, sort of help you out. Some people like that. Some of you say it's a distraction. It's a little hard for me to keep up with, but we're going to work on it. And in fact, if you look at the next one, Veterans Day, we do want you to know whether old-timey veterans or modern-day vets, or whether you are currently serving or have served, whether it's back in the 48 to 52. Who said they were 48 to 52? Was that you, Brother Little? Brother Little in the Air Force under Truman's his term, actually, under Harry S. Truman. And so thankful for that moment in time, or Curtis Herring in the Korean War, and the Army as well, all the way down through the 50s with Bill in the Marine Corps into the 60s, 70s, and those who served 21 years. Thank you, Sister Holly, very much for your service. And the next slide is just, we just say there's, it's about America, and if you will, in the slides you can read it. We want all honoring all who served. Thank you for your service. Veterans Day was this past Wednesday. We could have done this last week, but we chose to today. Honor. You know, it begins at the bottom. We'll explain that in just a moment. That's the first note line you might want to write. Proverbs 18:12 says, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty. It's a heart issue. And before honor, we all want to be honored in some way, it seems like. Before honor is humility. Today, every one of us who is a believer, if you've asked Jesus Christ into your heart, you have been called a believer. You are following him. And hopefully you have the mind of Christ, like 2:5 of Philippians. If you have the mind of Christ, we would say you're a Christian. You're Christ-like. Well, to every believer has a choice between being humble or being humbled. Now think about that. The Bible is saturated with this as a primary fact of life. God hates pride. It goes before a fall. It hurts. I can give you illustration after illustration, but we have a choice. Those other kinds of choices, but today I want you to know your choice is understanding that you can be humble or you'll be humbled. It's a fact. I just read you Proverbs 18:12. Before honor is humility. So think with me. We live in a day of smartphones. A lot of you have a phone that's smart. I had a little phone last night. I showed it to Edie. She said, we got a lot of those around here. In the last 20 years, these phones have been, they come and they go, and they always say, you want an upgrade. How many know what an upgrade is? Some of you are thinking, large fries, large Cokes. I'm not talking about that upgrade. I'm talking about a phone upgrade, and you can upgrade when your contract runs out, and that's how they make their money, not off that little Nokia or that little Samsung or that little iPhone, but those little bitty things. And these smartphones are, they're pretty smart. But sometimes you can use the GPS maps on the smartphone and end up in a cow pasture. True story. I won't go there. For time's sake, you've got your own. You can end up at the wrong place by listening to the wrong information or trusting in a source that's not too trustworthy. You can have the best intention. And despite our best intentions, we can end up at the wrong place. But what I want to share with you today, I want you to learn this. This month has been on honor. The entire month, every sermon has been on honor. And today we're going to stay consistent with that. I want you to understand this. When it comes to honor, we often believe that we're in the right place, but we may be listening to the wrong source. Proverbs 3:5 says, lean not to your own understanding. A lot of times we just lean to our own understanding because it just adds up. As the smartphone is smart, so we think that we are as well, but we end up in the wrong place. If we honestly, after an honest evaluation, after if we're honest about it, a true evaluation, a lot of times we find we're honoring ourselves. I tell people, you know what I've done. I don't think I mean that, but it doesn't matter. I do that. I'm honoring myself. Have you ever done that? Maybe you haven't. Maybe you haven't. In John 5:44, Jesus said, how can ye believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, I want to share with you that there is honor to be given, but it needs to come from above, and I want to teach you how that can happen, and you can have it with you when you go home today. You don't have to wonder about it. You can have it. In Jesus' day, there was a group of people who honored themselves, and they were very religious, much maybe like many of us. They were called Pharisees. And Jesus was speaking to the Pharisees often. In that verse I just read, it's referenced there as well. And speaking to them, he was saying, you're looking for honor in the wrong place. True honor could not be found from another. It must come from God. Now, we just read to you, before honor is given, you must have humility. So let's think about humility for just a moment. James chapter 4, verse 6 says this, speaking of God, but he, that's God, giveth more grace. Wherefore he, that's God, saith this. Here's what he says. And this is what the writer says. God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. Now today, if you know anything at all about what you need in your life, none of us in here want justice. We need mercy and we need his grace. Grace is God's riches at Christ's expense. Grace is really the power, the desire, and the very ability to do God's work, his will in our life, to be the kind of dad, the kind of man, the single individual, or the married man that you ought to be the kind of woman, to be the kind of mother that you ought to be in your life. It's so important for us to see this. How many of you ever heard there's peace before the storm, or there's quiet before the storm, or there's darkness before dawn? I forget all those things. I sought an authority source this morning to try to help me to find out what comes before what, and I didn't get much on this. But I do know this, before destruction comes pride. And some of us are dangerously driving down the road of life, headed to a dead end, and at that dead end is destruction. Because we think that we know everything rather than get on our knees and ask God and say, God Almighty, I need for you to show me how to live my life. I need your guidance. I need your Holy Ghost in my life that I might live in a way that it honors you. I want to humble myself. Before honor comes humility. We find true honor in no other way. It has to, we have to precede it with honor to God. Some of us don't understand this, but God's after you. He sent his only begotten son, Jesus, to knock at your heart's door to say, let me in. I want to redeem you. You need me. You're headed to a devil's hell, and I don't want you to go there. He says that as he knocks at your heart's door. And not only did his son Jesus come and do the will of the Father, was exalted by being lifted, humbling himself in the form of man, taking upon himself no reputation, hanging between heaven and earth, and as he did that, then he is sending us out, we who have been at the cross, who have bent our knee and bowed our head and say, Jesus, forgive me of my sins and come into my heart. And now he's sending us to go speak to others. It's important to understand this. We often have a false perception of what God is calling us to do, to be. I'm thankful. Jesus, simply put, he's merciful. He's gentle. When he was dealing with his disciples, they were all a confused lot of people. Turn with me in your Bible to Mark 10, if you will, verse 32. Mark 10, 32. Pride was a problem. Then, it is now. If you listen to these debates, Democratic debate, Republican debate, you hear of paragraphs, sound bites, ideologies. You hear of framed little things. And if you will listen to this, the pronoun that's used so often is I. The middle letter of pride is I. The middle letter of sin is I. And by the way, the middle letter of the one called Lucifer, Lucifer, right in the middle of all that, is I. Well, here in Mark 10:32, it says, and they were on their way going up to Jerusalem, and Jesus went before them, and they were amazed, and as they followed, they were afraid. And he took again the 12, very mercifully and very gently, he took the 12, and he began to tell them what things should happen unto him, saying, behold, we go up to Jerusalem, and the Son of Man shall be delivered unto the chief priests and unto the scribes, and they shall condemn him in death, and they shall deliver him to the Gentiles, and they shall mock him, and they shall scourge him, and shall spit upon him, and shall kill him, and the third day he shall rise again. In verse 35 says, and James and John, the sons of Zebedee, come unto him, saying, Master, I don't know what they were listening to. I don't know what you're listening to today. I don't know. It's not my voice I really want you to hear. I really like for you to hear the Holy Ghost speak to you. I'd really like to have him speak to me. I want to hear from heaven. Here is heaven come down. Here is Jesus speaking to them. And here they say, Master, we would that thou shouldest do for us whatever we shall desire. And he said unto them, What would ye that I should do for you? They said unto him, Grant unto us that we may sit on thy right hand and on the other thy left hand in thy glory. Here he is speaking of himself and what he's about to endure for salvation of the world, everlasting life. And pride is such a terribly binding element in one's life that even when Jesus himself speaks of the most spiritually significant event that ever will take place in history. This is 2015 in the year of our Lord, A.D., Anno Dominion. Domini, that is Latin for in the year of our, not after his death, but in the year of our Lord, 2015. And then before that, hundreds of years prophesied. Isaiah 53 and other passages, they said, here's what Jesus will do. That was B.C., before Christ. In the year of our Lord and before Christ, all of history has a calendar that has a pivotal moment in history as the cross of Christ. And that the world doesn't understand it. But Jesus, for them, as he will for us, he changes gears. We'll read to you in a moment. He asks them. He knew their thoughts. He didn't have to ask, well, what do you want? And one says, James, I'd like to be on the right. He'd like to be on the left. And they argue who's right and who's left or whatever. But he changes gears with an amazing patience as he gives them instruction. Look with me in verse 42. Mark 10:42. But Jesus called them to him and saith unto them, Ye know not that which are accounted to rule over the Gentile exercises lordship over them, and their great ones exercise authority upon them. But so shall it be among you. But whosoever will be great among you shall be your minister, and whosoever of you will be the chiefest shall be servant of all. For even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. Now, I don't know if you caught it, but you may have noticed he didn't condemn them for their desire for what they wanted. But something about beginning at the bottom. James and John, think about their life. They'd already gone out and preached. They had performed miracles. If you really understand the chronology and the synchronization and the harmonization of the Gospels, they'd already been given power. We read, most importantly, I think, or in my mind, the primary of Matthew 10, where he sent them out in twos and told them they should be able to do this. And they did that. They had sacrificed, left all, recognized leaders. They were recognized leaders, the disciples, yet they had not found the true place of real honor. They thought they needed something more. That's what some of us are looking for. Interestingly enough, they were laying down their lives, but an element of them, it was not for themselves. It was rather not for others, but for themselves. Sometimes we have a false sense of sufficiency or self-sufficiency. I don't know. Question is this thing about beginning at the bottom. It's called humility. What is the opposite characteristic of humility? Have you ever thought about that? I always think how I can define a word. What to begin at the bottom is humble ourselves. I think that more can be accomplished upon one's knees and spending time with the Lord, and yet I think I don't do that like I should. The way up is down. The way that I might be able to be lifted up is to humble myself before the Lord. That's what this is talking about, and we just seemingly don't get it, and yet God wants us to get it. This place of honor begins at the bottom, not the top. Sometimes we're tempted to think, when we see some others have an issue in their life, we may ask ourselves, is it pride or arrogance? Or, well, maybe the same. But instead of it being arrogance, perhaps I'll share this with you. In my life, maybe it's ignorance. I think, how little do I understand his perfect will in my life? Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? Who in the world do I think that I am that he would give everything, leave everything in heaven? And he did that for you and for me. We're arrogant. But no, we're really ignorant. It is becoming ignorant of what we are or who we really are, and we're ignorant of who Jesus really is. We have no issue if we really understand who he is and how we are in the scheme of things, who we are in comparison to him. Then we'll lift up the name of Jesus and we won't get our eyes on ourselves or others. We'll be thinking about him. And that's what he wants us to do. It begins at the bottom. Luke 14:10 says, "But when thou art bidden, go and sit down in the lowest room, and that when he that bade thee cometh, he may say unto thee, Friend," this is Luke 14:10, "go up higher, then shalt thou have worship in the presence of them that sit at meat with thee. For whosoever exalteth himself shall be abased, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted." In Luke 1:52, speaking before the birth of Christ, in the third gospel, it says, "He that hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree." Proverbs 25:6 says, "Put not forth thyself in the presence of the king, and stand not in the place of great men." Verse 7, "For better it is that it be said of thee, Come up hither, than that thou shouldest be put in the lower presence of the prince, and whom thine eyes have seen." Real humility, not feigned. Have you ever studied that word feigned? F-E-I-G-N-E-D, feigned. A feigned humility is simply, is a pretense. It's a false humility. And some of us are good at it. And we need to come to an end of ourselves, all of us. Humility, defined simply, is no longer an ignorance of who we are and who he is, but rather it's an accurate view of oneself. He dug us out of the pit, a horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and he set us free. He is the one who gave us freedom, not our works. We're not saved by our works, but rather by the grace of God, and we need to understand it. The Baptist was a powerful man, yet John understood who he was and who Christ Jesus was. In Luke 3:15, it says this, "And the people were in expectation, all the men mused in their hearts of John, whether he were the Christ or not." Verse 16, "John answered, saying unto them all, I indeed baptize you with water, and one mightier than I cometh, the latchet of whose shoes I am not worthy to unloose. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire." John understood, and even in another passage, John 3:30 says, "I've got to decrease, he must increase." At times you may wonder why God appears to be continually against you. Anybody ever wonder that? I need that job. I want that raise. We want kids. I don't want that problem. Why did this come? Why this financial fiasco? Why this parental peril? Why, you know, I can think of alliterated phrases of different problems that you and I may have, but why in this life that I walk, why do these things come? Seems that some of us find no good success in our ventures. Could it be that you remain unbroken? We have pride in our life. Maybe we're unbroken in God's attempts to humble us. Could it be that God's plan to exalt you and me is thwarted by our desire to exalt our own selves? Proverbs 15:33 says, "The fear of the Lord is the instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility." It begins at the bottom, not the top. And the place of honor begins with service. I have 3 points. Point two is begins with service. Think about it. Matthew 23:11 says, "And he that is greatest among you shall be your servant. And whosoever shall exalt himself shall be abased, and he that shall humbleth himself shall be exalted." Who doesn't like to be served? How many like to be waited on? Edie will bring me a cup of coffee. She'll bring me a piece of pie. She'll bring me a piece of cake. Some of you say, "Well, we can see evidence." Yeah, we know. She's such a sweet wife. She loves serving her husband. She loves. as she loves to do that for Gary, you and I should love to do that for Jesus. Do we love him? Service. The place of humility comes with many advantages. The third point there, it has advantages. Many advantages. Many advantages. Many advantages. I don't have time to preach. It's already time for some of you to put your shoes on. You're ready to go. Your taste buds have peaked. And your olfactory nerve, you can smell the roast from a distance, and you're ready to go home and to devour that food that just does well for your body. But for our spirit, I would like you to know that if you can find a place of honor that begins at the bottom with service, you'll find many advantages. I told you I didn't with how-to. I haven't gotten there, so let me hurry with the advantages so we can get to the how-to. 1 Peter 5:8 says, Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Why? Well, what will happen? Not for this purpose. I don't tithe so he'll continue to bless me. I tithe because it's his. I don't rob God because I'm afraid he'll beat me up. I want to honor God. It's his. So I give to him. It's his. But an advantage. By the way, some of us do tithing like we do taxes. You're always looking for a loophole. And then, you know, Cruz has got his idea, and Rubio's got his, and Paul has his, and Bush has his, and I don't know what the others have, you know, and you can go through all the different ones and the things that they have, whether insiders or outsiders, and they always talk about a fair tax, and there is such a thing as something we haven't experienced. There's something better for our government that we could have. This nation has been founded upon the principles of God. There is something out there better. You better pray for our country. But I'll share this with you. There's no changing around God's way of doing his work. Mighty hand of God. To humble ourselves under his mighty hand. And then this follows in 1 Peter 5:6, that he may exalt you in due time. Luke 16:18-14 says, I tell you this, man went down to his house justified rather than the other, for everyone that exalteth himself shall be abased. I'm giving you all these different ones. And it's saturated, especially the New Testament. Think for a moment, will you? And then thank him for the many advantages. What are they? Number one, God lives with a humble. He lives. The next slide will show you that. He lives, he listens, and he gives. I'll just give you three advantages. I got a bunch more, but don't have time to give them to you, and I didn't even put them on the slide knowing I would not. How do you mean that he lives with a humble? Well, his principle, this immutable God, God has never changed an iota. He's the Father of lights in whom there is no variableness, no shadow of turning. And he gives to you and me these perfect gifts from above. He sends them our way. So if he never changes, I can use an Old Testament passage. For some of you people think you only use new. It doesn't matter whether it's old or new, pre-law, post-law, grace, before the world began, God who never changes. He lives with the humble. Isaiah 57:15. For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity. That's why I say before the foundation laid. He inhabiteth eternity. He lives. He lives. Christ Jesus, my Lord, lives. How do I know that he lives? He lives within my heart. I know that I know that I know he lives. This one with a capital O, if you read your Old Testament, Isaiah 57:15, this one, capital O, that's this proper name, noun of Jesus, God the Father, he is the one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy. I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit. I wish we could understand. He listens to the requests of the humble. Old Testament, immutable God, says this in 2 Chronicles 34:27, because thine heart was tender, By the way, now, because thine heart was tender, it's an adverbial clause. It has to do with the condition that's been met. We want God's best in our life. We say, "Oh, I need to know that He lives. I need to know that He listens to me. Will He listen to you? Will He listen to me?" Yes, He will. Amen. He's no respecter of persons. Amen. There's no big people, no little people. There's no more important people, no lesser important people. God loves us all with an everlasting love that reaches down right to where we are to pick us up out of that miry clay and set us free. Just as our soldiers did what they did. You know, I think about protesters and I think about Vietnam, and I was never a protester. And I'm thankful I can say that, though I'm a sinner no different than other sinners. But you had your Jane Fonda and you had your Hanoi Hilton, you had this and that, and you had people who were suffering there in prison in Vietnam, and you had people here in the United States who were protesting. You know why they were protesting? Because of ignorance. They had no idea of what's at stake. And they didn't give honor to those who were willing to go. We need to give honor to one who was willing to come to where we are, because we could not go to where He is. And He did. He lives. And here I start to read to you, He also listens. Thou didst humble thyself. It's a heart issue. Is your heart tender? See, I think it is. You know, there's a way that seemeth right in a man, but then there is a way of death. It's in Proverbs. Check it out. You may think it, but you need to know, is your heart the condition that God wants it to be in? Is it tender? Tender! If it's tender, then you'll find yourself humbling yourself before God. And when thou hearest His words against this place, against the inhabitants thereof, and humblest thyself before me, and didst rend thy clothes and weep before me, I have even heard thee also, saith the Lord. The Lord is saying, like the 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people which are called by my name will humble themselves, is our heart tender. He lives, He listens, He gives. The humble are recipients of His grace, of more grace. I read to you James 4:6. 1 Peter 5:5 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves therefore unto the elder. Yea, all that are you, be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. He exalts, He lifts, He promotes the humble. He considers the humble to be truly great. Matthew 18:4. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of God, heaven. That's what Jesus said. He gives honor to those who humble themselves. If we had a church filled with humble people and just say, Lord, here I am at your feet, what your will is my desire, we would turn Sarah Land upside down. Because the average church member, its heart is crusty, it's calloused, it's cold. And God wants it to be tender. I said I'd give you to the last when we close, how. You ever thought about how? It's a good question, how? How? That's a politician. What's that guy's name? His last name starts with an S. I'll think about it in a moment. He's been here as an evangelist. He's from South Florida. And Bernie says this. He's Dr. Bill Sr.'s son-in-law. I can't think of his last name. Anyhow, he's been here for Faith for the Family. Who's that, Stanley? You remember? Bernie somebody. I'll think about it in a second. Bernie said this. He says, he asked this question, and, you know, that word how, and, you know, you say different questions, and he say how, and then he said, how long is the Chinaman? And we want to play with a lot of words. And he wasn't asking the question, he was just saying the guy's name was how long, and he was saying he's a Chinaman. But when Bernie would ask me, he said, how long is the Chinaman? I thought, I don't know how long a Chinaman is. But I know that's a little bit on the ridiculous side, but my point in saying that is we can play games with words. And a lot of us do that with very serious words. I think one of the more serious things that you need to leave with here in 10 minutes is how can you know that you can be where God wants you to be? So he lives, he listens, and he gives to you your needs. You need to, the first thing you need to do, and second thing, I guess I'll just keep them close, you need to serve, and you need to stay. You need to serve and stay. You need to serve faithfully. Instead of to be served, you need to serve faithfully. You need to serve him. And you need to stay. You need to stay fresh. That means close to the Lord and clean. He's not going to allow dirty vessels near him. He wants us to lay aside every sin and weight that doth so easily beset us. When we have broken, not relationship, but fellowship, he says we need to confess it, and he's faithful and just to cleanse us of it and forgive us of all unrighteousness, and then he will walk with us and we'll be his ambassadors the way that he wants us to be. Serve, stay, serve faithfully, stay fresh. Nothing breeds hardness of your heart, of your soul, more than a stale relationship. How many of you ever left a piece of bread that got left out of the little sleeve? And the bread's just laying there and you didn't know it. I visited one lady one time and went to her house, and she asked me in, and she was sitting in sort of her back extension of her house, and this little kitchenette thing there, and she's up in years, and I said, sure, and I sat down, her dinette set, and she said, would you like this piece of toast? And I said, no. I thought I didn't want to just furnish her. So she sort of laid back in her little chair and pulled open her little refrigerator, which was conveniently placed at arm's length. She pulled it open. She took the bread and slung it like that, like a Frisbee, into the refrigerator. So I thought, well, that bread is going to get stale. Stale. When a piece of bread that's just brought out of the oven is giving you its aroma, the texture, it's soft, it's palatable. Makes me think I need to put my shoes on. But I do know this. You leave that bread unattended, and you leave it there for a long time, and it's not been taken care of, it'll get stale. And I don't think anybody wants an old, stale piece of bread. And I don't think any of you really, I think you want to know how you can have God bless you, how you can be humble, find you a place of service, serve, and stay. But don't get stale. Nothing is worse than an old, stale relationship. An old, stale relationship with God. That breeds hardness, and your heart gets cold and calloused and hard. To be humble, I said you either have a choice, humble or be humbled. To be humbled means that I know my worth is nothing apart from the value of Christ in me. God seems to be continually choosing instruments that are obviously unimpressive. You don't have to be colleged. You don't have to be fixed up or whatever in your looks or this or that. God doesn't. He takes in those that somebody says they can't be. Those are the ones he wants. It magnifies the master when he can skillfully take something of value which is obviously not apart from him. It has no value whatsoever. 'Twas battered and scarred, and the auctioneer thought it scarcely was worth its while to waste much time on the old violin, but he held it up with a smile. What am I bid, good folk? He cried. Who'll start the bidding for me? The dollar? A dollar? Now two? Only $2? Who'll make it three? $3 once? $3 twice? Going for three? But no! No, 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 no. From the room far back, A gray-haired man came forward and picked up the bow. Then, wiping the dust from the old violin and tightening up the strings, he played a melody pure and sweet as the as an angel sings. Music ceased. And the auctioneer, with a voice that was quiet and low, said, "What am I bid for the old violin?" As he held it up with a bow, $1,000. Who'll make it two thousand? Who'll make it three? 3,000 once, 3,000 twice, 3,000 and gone, said he. The people cheered, but some exclaimed, "We do not quite understand." Now here it is. Catch the little word picture. What changed its worth, they ask. And the answer came, 'twas the touch of the master's hand. And many a man with soul out of tune and battered and scarred by sin is auctioned cheap by the thoughtless crowd, just like the old violin. But the master comes, and the foolish crowd never can quite understand the worth of a soul and the change that is wrought by the touch of the master's hand. I want him to touch me, but he's not going to until I start at the bottom and humble myself. Can we do that today? Father, thank you for the privilege to be in your house. Thank you for Philippians 2:5. We pray that we might understand we have a choice between being humble or being humbled. How can we be humbled? How can we have you work? It's to serve. It's to stay. Serve faithfully and stay fresh. I pray that you help us learn to do that. In Jesus' name. Before you stand, Philippians 2:5 says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found the image as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and given him a name that is above every name." Father, thank you for the touch of the master's hand. Touch us today, we pray, in Jesus' name. Would you stand with us, please? If God speaks, you come. He listens. He lives, he listens, he gives. Won't you come today? Bend your knee, bow your head, and let God work in your life, for he desires to do so as we sing. Would you come as we pray?
Just
no plea, just the way that we are, he takes us. It's like the old violin. It's like the old violin. He'll take you. O Lamb of God. Brother Mike, as we pause just for a moment and the instruments play, listen, I'd like for us to do business with God today. I think there's some of you that don't know that he lives in your heart. And this word is to you before we sing this next verse. I'm begging you. You don't have a promise of tomorrow. I listened on the game yesterday or the day before on the news. A dad and son, a Mississippi State ball player, redshirt freshman, he and the father were killed right over here just across the line. 44-year-old father, I don't know how old the son was, 18 or 19 years of age. We don't know. You don't know when the doctor says you have cancer, or maybe he's told you that. You don't know how long you have to live. You need to nail this thing down that you know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. It makes a difference in your life. You then know he lives here, and you know he listens to you, and he gives his grace to the humble. Maybe you say, "I do know that I'm saved." Well, your choice is this. Are you serving? Are you fresh? Are you close to the Lord? Maybe we're a little cold in our heart, got a little stale bread of a heart, a little cold relationship. You can do that where you stand and bow your head. You can pray there, but you might want to come at the front and pray. That's up to you. But I'm begging you, the choice is yours. As we sing our last verse of song, lest God should lead dramatically different. If you have a decision to make, would you come on this last verse of song? Would you come if God speaks? Anybody, just whatever the need. It just takes one little thing, one little bit of leaven to spoil the whole lump. Oh, Lamb of God, I come. I come. As we pause and are singing, the instruments play while they're still here at the front praying. Would you, as the instruments continue to play, would you just pray right now and say, Lord, speak to me. I give you permission. You know, he's not going to come and speak to you unless you give him permission. He knocks. If any man heareth his voice, you know, if we say come in, he comes in and sups with us, it says in Revelation 3. But he's got a knock over the door. You have to open it. He wants to speak. Father, I pray that you'll do a work. Thank you for all the guests we have today, whether it's the Sheffields or the Thomases or others who have been, we don't even count them as guests, we just count them as part of us, but we thank you for so many that are here. We just thank you, Lord, that we can meet in your name, and we lift up the name of Jesus. Be with us now as we go home, and may we think about, Lord, are we humbling ourselves before you so that you can give us some of those things you want to give in the form of your grace, many different things. Ask and pray that you'll bless us now. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Amen. Thank you. Appreciate you all being with us today. If you're a first-time guest, I would say we usually don't preach this long, but that wouldn't be the truth. So we always shoot for 12 but never make it. We're glad you're here. Take time. How many of you have seen the building going up with the walls? If you parked over here, you need to drive around and take a look. It won't be long now, and we appreciate you who give to missions and also give to the building, but we're happy about that. See you tonight, 5:30 for prayer time. Choir practice is at 4:30. 4:30 choir practice, 5:30 prayer, and then 6 o'clock service.